once again. Ed Masay, Tavshin Einbach. Ela Masay v'nei Yisrael asher yotu me'eretz Mitzrayim l'tzivo sam b'yad Moshe v'Aaron. These are the travelings of the Jewish people. Right? They left Mitzrayim l'tzivo sam according to their hosts b'yad Moshe in the hands of Moshe v'Aaron. V'yichtov Moshe es motza ehem l'mas ehem. So again, the word motza ehem is a little bit up for discussion. Is it the place you're going to find, the place you're leaving from? Not 100% clear. Certainly, I would say, but pashtus, the way we would say nowadays, I would say that Motza'ehem, I would say that Motza'ehem is where you're coming from, and your Yad, is your destination. Baruch Hashem. Yad Moshe V'Aaron, etc. It's okay. You know, he grasped very quickly. Says Rashi, Eilam Mas'eh. Right? Why are these masos, why are these journeys related to us in the Chumash? Lohodiach hasodov shel mokom, to teach us the kindness of the Ribbono Shelom. Shafu bisha gozer aleim letaltalam lahaniyam b'midbar, even though there was a gzeir upon them, they were going to travel through the midbar, they're going to be there, you know, to the end of the 40 years, they're going to be there 38 more years. You shouldn't think that it was a constantly leaving, they never had any rest, and they were, you like out of your mind, like they say, you know, God forbid, after death and divorce, what do you call it, moving is like one of the most traumatic experiences. Imagine constantly having, what do you call it, never having a moment's rest. So it depends, as he says. She says, what do you call it? It's written over here to show chastei mokomness, even though the person, right, even though they were being nanash, as a result of a punishment, nonetheless, they weren't constantly traveling, rather, and this is where you can make the cheshbon. Say mehem, right? There are only 42 sharei ein kan el aboim u'shtayim masos, 42 masos. 42.
There's seven more.
Right, but say that maybe going back.
Yeah, 49.
Right, Rashi says 42 here. We're not going to discuss that issue right now. There is a discussion over here. Everybody called us whether really are, whatever. That's the discussion. There's a very long, Lavush Or, I think, on it. And there's Rashi, but that's not our point right now. Samiyam Yudalat Shakulam Ayubashana Rishona. Quote him Gzeira. 14 of them were in the first year before the Gzeira. Right, before it was decreed upon them that they were going to die in the Midbar. Mishinosu Miramses Achabol Risma. From Ramses to Risma. And from Mismah is when they sent out the Meraglim. Okay? The kind of all of Ayisu Michatseus, Hayaknu Barisma, Lamaratashi, he Bimidbar Paran. Okay, that's where they sent out the Meraglim. So it means 14 off the 42. So when he quotes that 28 left. That's it. 28 for 38 years. Yeah. The old Hotse Mishem Ches Masol Shehoyul Akam Mises Aaron. So Rashi says there were 8 Masos, right, after the death of Aaron. Right? 8 Masos after the death of Aaron. That was what we were talking about before, that they started to go backwards toward Mitzrayim, and the Levim, what do you call, ran after them to bring them back. Had to kill some of them, Lo'alinu, etc. Mehor har ad arvo smov, b'shnat arboim nimtza, shekol shmona u'shloshim shana u'nosu ela esri masos. So a maisa, they only traveled 20 masos, 20 places, right? V'zem yisodo shal Moshe Adarshan. Okay? Fine. This is what he called this Ramosha Darshan. So Ramosha Darshan tells us, and everybody relates this. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim also discusses why they mentioned the Masos, because people knew where those places were, and this was to give a further commemoration of where these Nisim took place. And if you just heard that Nisim took place, so you'd say, okay, where were they? No one talks about it, you know. Yeah, no one of it. But now they're telling where the places were. So the Rambam Mor Nevuchim says, so now this was emblazoned upon their memory because they knew where all these places were and they were able to relate to them. Right? Fine. So Rav Moshe Adarshan, right, Rashi says the reason. Rav Moshe Adarshan is one of the Rishonim, right? Rashi quotes him quite often. Right? He says that it's to teach you Chasdei Amokom. The Chasorim of Hashem. And it's not like the Rambam says that the places are there to emblazon upon our memory where the Nisim took place, so we'll have a point of reference, as right, Rav Kalman said. It's rather to teach us, you can make a cheshbon, you'll see that they didn't travel that many places. didn't travel that many places. They didn't travel that many places. So you see that they weren't constantly going from pillar to post, constantly. It shows the chassadim of Hashem.
28,
38 years. Wait, it's only 20, he says.
1.1.
Oh, they didn't spend the same amount of time in each place. They didn't spend the same amount of time in each place.
You said after there was 28 travels.
I stand, but they didn't say that they all, right? They didn't spend the same amount of time in each place. Some places they spent, a longer period of time, some a shorter period of time. Okay.
Now we know.
Thank you. Okay. At any event, so that would go. That's the fact that perseveres in Rashi. Then Rashi continues, and he says, "Yeah, Rabbi Tanhuma Dorash Bo Drush Acheres." Rabbi Tanhuma gave a different drasha. Right, the Medrash Tanhuma. Mashal Melech Shahaya Bino Chole. What is it comparable to? A king whose son was ill, right? Valicho Lemokom Rochok Laposo, and he took him to a distant place to heal him. Kevin Shahayu Chozrin Vehischil Aviv Monikol Masos, when they were returning, right? So his father started to count all the places they'd stopped along the way. Amalo Kanya Shannu. Here we caught, he rested. Kanu Kanu, here we were cold. Kan Chashashtas Roshcha, here you had a headache, etc. So that's what he called, that's a different approach. Once again, it's the same concept as far as Rashi is concerned, to show the chasadim of Hashem, but it's a different type of chesed. According to Rav Moshe Darshan, you make a mathematical calculation, you see the Maaseh didn't travel that many places within what he called within the 38 years.
Yeah.
Right? That's according to Rav Moshe Darshan. According to Rabbi Tanhuma, Rabbi Tanhuma says that the chesed of Hashem that you see from the psukim is that what is it? What is it comparable to? To a king who has a son. Son became ill, needed to take him to be healed, and as they're traveling back to what he called home, they recount all of the places they were and the events that took place at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now. It shows the chasodim, right? The Lord shows the chasodim of Hashem. The question is where do you see this in the pasuk? Meila Ramosh Adarsh, and you see. You just make a cheshbon, and you see. According to Rabbi Tanhuma, how do you see that it's comparable to a melech who has a son who became ill? He travels with him to places, and then on the way back, they recount the places. What are we talking about? How do you see this from the psukim? A drash doesn't mean, okay, I think I wanted to say this. It has to be a level in the understanding of the pasuk. So, first of all, the idea of coming home is very interesting. Coming home. What does it mean, returning? Because this is why. Right.
Don't let me disturb.
No, that's all right. I'm disturbed already.
What?
Goodness gracious! At any event, we call it the Tanhuma. So first of all, the idea of returning home. I'm returning home. They're not returning home. Well, they are returning home. That's the answer. They're going to Eretz Yisrael. In other words, even though in the case of the Melech, right? In the case of the Melech, he was not, the son was not well. They had to leave home. They had to leave home. Right? And now they're coming home. The home is Eretz Yisrael. Right? Klal Yisrael has to go through all of these events. Yeah, they have to go through all of these events. They have to be in Mitzrayim, they have to leave Mitzrayim. When they make a mistake, they have to go from this place to the next place to the next place to the next place, etc. And even places where we call people have aliyahs, they have yuridas, etc., etc., etc. So that's the healing process. The healing process.
What is the healing process?
Going from place to place. We haven't really defined that, though. You're right. We haven't really defined it. Right? Going from place to place somehow is part of the healing process. Here is where you weren't well. Here is where you were cold. Here is where you were. We don't really have understand exactly what is the refuah that's taking place in those different places. But that's the way it's referred to. And we're returning home. Home is Eretz Yisrael. Home is Eretz Yisrael. Home is Eretz Yisrael. The way they know l'chora, that the way l'chora Rabbi Tanchuma knows that it's talking about a benevolent king, a king who has a son that obviously he loves, right? But that he's taking him place to place, and they're recounting all the events that transpired as they traveled from place to place in his quest for healing, is l'chora because the pasuk says, "Tachani choshev." Yeah, but it says it's all this al pi Hashem, by the word of Hashem. And even though there were places they went to as a result of their sins. They went to as a result of their sins. It's not that Hashem abandons them though. It's all al pi Hashem. And it's not that Hashem forced them to sin. They sinned, but you can never subvert Hashem's will. He wants us to be well. He wants us to return home. He wants us to be healthy enough to return home. If we mess up along the way, then he accommodates our mess up in order to heal us. And that's why all of that which transpires in the 40 years is al pi Hashem. It's al pi Hashem. Fine. The Derech Agav, recall, if you remember, I think we once talked about it once upon a time in Parshas Baloscha. In Parshas Baloscha, it says over there, Al pi Hashem Yisuv, Al pi Hashem Yachanu, Esus Meres Hashem Shamaru. It says the Jewish people traveled. In parts of Aloska, we would discuss the idea that the traveling is called Al pi Hashem Yisuv, Al pi Hashem Yachanu, Esus Meres Hashem Shamaru. They traveled and they encamped Al pi Hashem, and as everything is Al pi Hashem, on the word of Hashem. It's all on the word of Hashem. So the Gemara learns out from there. There's a discussion in the Gemara and Shabbos, regarding the malacha of soser, when you destroy something, when you destroy a building, an edifice. So soser, at first glance, or not just first glance, is ostensibly destructive. You're not chayav for destructive acts on Shabbos. Soser is one of the lamates malachos. It's one of the 39 malachos you're chayav for. How can it be? It's destructive. All the malachos on Shabbos are creative or constructive. Why can this be destructive Michaev? What? Oh, so the Gemara says, what do you call it? It has to be Almanas Livnos. There are two opinions over there. Does it have to be Almanas Livnos?
On the same spot?
On the same spot, or is it just Almanas Livnos? Right. You know, do you have to say you're going to use the materials for building? That's Almanas Livnos, for the purpose of building. Or does it have to be with the purpose of Almanas Livnos, to build it mamash in the same place? So the Gemara asks, on the opinion it says, that has to be on the condition to rebuild in the same place. All the malachas we learned from the Mishkan. The Mishkan wasn't taken apart, it wasn't dismantled in order to rebuild it, right, in the same place. It was dismantled to rebuild it in another place. So how can you say that, how could the Mishkan be an example of Sosomath Livnos Bimkomo? It wasn't dismantled to be reassembled in the same place. Our answer is no, the Mishkan is different, it's all Pi Hashem. In other words, when you destroy something, when you take apart an edifice and put it in a particular place, so even if you're going to build it someplace else, but this mukum right now, this mukum, this place where we're standing right now, is now had a net loss. Because it was before it was built up, and now no longer has an edifice on it. That's in normal life. But when you're traveling al pi Hashem, where everything you're doing is 100% linked to what Hashem wants for you, and since Hashem was the one who was calling the shots over here, there was no purpose for them to be in this place anymore. It didn't need to have its building on it anymore. They already sucked out all of that they needed to take out of that place. They've already taken everything out of it that they needed to take out of it. And therefore, it's not considered a destructive act vis-a-vis the place. It's the only place we can be. It's someplace else. In normal life, So it's always considered destructive if you took it off here, because here, you don't know. How do you know if what do you call it? Maybe right now this place needs to have something built on it, or what do you call it? Your decisions are not. But it's Al-Pi Hashem. Fine. So I'm saying the fact that it says over here, Al-Pi Hashem, so we know that Hashem is with them. So even as a melech has rules. But it's a melech with his son. The melech loves his son. So the rules are, you mess up, you gotta be healed. Not you gotta be smacked. Right? Also vengeance. You have to be healed. Sometimes healing is a painful process. So as they would record, that was the nature of their traveling through the Midbar, all those masos, those 42 masos, just to heal them. To heal them. Now,
49.
42. Let's deal with 42 right now. Actually, it's 42. So what he called to the so what he called to the so Rashi says so Ramush, so the Tanchuma says, right, that's why they recount it over here. It shows not just the chasadim in terms of the nature of that Hashem didn't schlep us around that much, even in the midst of the onus, the way Ramush Adarshan says. It's telling us that the nature of being schlep through the midbar for those 4 years is like a melech who is taking his son to heal him, and he's with him all the time. And he says, here we were cold together. Ima anochi betzar, when you suffered, I suffered. Right? Here we were cold. Here we rested. Right? Or, very interestingly enough, it's very interesting, it's fascinating, the last case example that he brings, that Rashi brings, chashashtes roshcha. You felt pain in your head. If you have pain in your head, it's a remez. It doesn't say chashashtes roshenu. Right? But it says chashashtes roshcha, you had a headache here. It's a remez to the Mishnah in Sanhedrin that says that even when a Rasha be Israel, certainly when a non-Rasha suffers, the Shekhinah suffers with him. Right? Right? Kalani Miroshi. When an Anam Yisrael is suffering. He's suffering. The Shekhinah suffers with him. Right? The Shekhinah suffers with him. Fine. I would just say, parenthetically, the Ramban says it's a machlokit.
Parenthetically.
Like in parentheses.
Why?
I didn't want to say braces. Because Harvey's not here.
Brackets.
So you look at the pasuk. Pasuk Beis. Vayichtav Moshe Motzaim L'Maseim Al Pi Hashem. Ve'el Maseim L'Motzaim. There are two ways you could understand what the phrase Al Pi Hashem is going on. Is it going on?
You just explained.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it could be the way he explained it just now is that the travelings are Al Pi Hashem. But you could, right? You could have learned that Al Pi Hashem is, and Moshe wrote it down. Al Pi Hashem. That's the way the Ramban says. That's how the Rambam understood the pasuk. In other words, the Al Pi Hashem over here is telling us, right, that Hashem told Moshe that Moshe wrote it down. Al Pi Hashem, that Hashem said, write down the names of the places, right? Mm-hmm. So you could say, again, this is totally parenthetical. You could say the machlokes. I said already, what we call, when you listen to the recording, you'll recall. In parentheses. What do you call it? You could say the machlokes, part of the machlokes, with Moshe Adarshan and Rabbi Tanchuma, as whether, right, where are you seeing the chasadim? Through counting the places, right? Or through, what do you call it, knowing that they traveled Al Pi Hashem. So depending on how you understand the phrase Al Pi Hashem, if Al Pi Hashem is going on, write it down, because Hashem told Moshe to write it down, so we want to know the number of places, then you would understand that could be the basis in the pasuk, according to Rav Moshe Adarshan. We just want to know the number of places, so we can make a chesed so that Hashem didn't schlep us around that much. If you learn Al Pi Hashem is, in that when they're traveling is Al Pi Hashem, right? The traveling is Al Pi Hashem, so then we call it. So then you understand how Rabbi Tanchuma understands it, that the chesed of Hashem is being seen, that their traveling was with Hashem. Okay, like I said, it's parenthetical. Fine. So Hashem was with us in the desert. What exactly was the tachlis of all these places? Again, what was accomplished in all these places that we traveled through the Midbar? So underneath the hatch line there, so Maya Tachlis, right? Maya Tachlis. Shah, we're called Shehiyas Klal Yisrael Bamidbar. What was accomplished?
You can tell us.
Okay, I'll ignore that. So says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. You see? You see it underneath the hatched line? Page 1? Look at page 1, you look at page 2. Okay, recall. Usually we go from, we do 1 first before 2. I mean, if we're other, maybe we do the other way around. Recall, so underneath that line, so the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says, Yizachen Yizboyer al pi divrei anshei emes, sha'omru v'zohar HaKadosh, sha'lichas Yisrael b'midbar, hoysel varer nitzotzei HaKadusha. The traveling of the Jewish people through the desert was to clarify, right, to be mevarer, right, to separate out the nitzotzei HaKadusha, the sparks of holiness, right, that were in the Midbar. Sha'onas ish habli'al, hachona b'midbar hashamein. In other words, there are sparks of holiness in the hands of the Sitra Achra. That's the, what do you call it, Beelzebub. Right? Beelzebub. Mephistopheles. Whatever. Okay, fine, right, okay. All right. In the hands of the Satan. In other words, what do you call it, there are nitzotzos of Kedusha in the hands of the Satan. The Satan's natural domain is the desert. Right? And so they're in his hands, and as we traveled through the desert, so we collected, right, we collected these, what he called these nitzotzei HaKadusha. So now, let's not get confused for a second. Let's not think that this is biblical Pokemon. Right? Right? In other words, you know, that you're going around collecting, what he called, like little, like the whole set, you know, there you see it, like a little Pokemon there, over the top of, what he called, a 300 foot tall Douglas pine, right, and you step off a cliff, right, going, you die, a kiddish Pokemon, right, to try and catch him, etc. We're not talking about that. What does it mean that collecting the Nitzotzos of Kedusha, right? The Nitzotzos of Kedusha.
Separating
them, right? Separating out from the chaff that they're covered with, right? Abstract. That's very abstract. That's why I said we're going to explain it. Okay. So take a look at the Sfas Emes. Says Eila Masay, Motzeim Masayim Masayim Motzeim, Kinei Odom Nikra Mahalech. He's not commenting on the Orach Chaim. I'm bringing this Sfas Emes record as we go towards the record, so that we'll get greater clarity in the record of the Orach Chaim. Even with the Sfas Emes, won't be finished, but Mitzvah Shem will get there. Believe me.
One quick question. So you said you separate the sparks of holiness from the hands of the Satan,
right? Because
negative influences and the positive influences.
We're going to separate the kedusha from his hands, right? And there's really everything, right? Everything is kadosh.
You see, that's like doing tshuva. They were eliminating their.
Rather than getting closer to Hashem. Rather than just leaving it very amorphous like that, right? Like I'd like to.
What's amorphous?
Amorphous. He used to live down the block.
A blah.
You know, without any shape. So we're trying to give some shape to it, okay?
A piece of clay.
Okay. So let's see what the Sfas Emes say. Kinea Adam Nikra Mahalach. Man is called a Mahalach. He travels. We know that's the essence of Avraham Avinu. I mean, we've talked about this before. Yeah? The essence of Avraham Avinu is Lech Lecha. Always going. The nisayon of leaving Chutz Lartz, coming towards Eretz Yisrael, to an unknown destination. Lech lecha me'artz lecha muladzecha mi'beis avicha el ha'aretz asher eka. Avram, yeah, with his the ultimate nisayon, the akeda, is prefaced with lech lecha el eretz ha'moria, right? Al chad ha'arim ashor amar lecha. Lech lecha, always to discover yourself, right? To discover your true connection to Hashem, you always have to be going forward. The pasuk in Shir Hashirim, which we've mentioned before also, Mayafu Pamayich Bana'olim Basnadi. How beautiful are your footsteps, right? Right? As you walk, right? He walked, the daughter, Bas, the daughter, Nadiv, of the one great giver of himself, Avram Avinu. The Jewish people refer to it as the daughter of Avram Avinu, as we are Ola Regel. It's the quest, yeah, the quest to find the Ribbono Shel Olam. Aliyah LeRegel, everybody, no matter what you've been doing all year round, right? You've been picking apples in Kiryat Shmona, you've been, what do you call it, you've been fishing off the coast of Ashdod, you've been doing whatever you've been doing, yeah, whatever you've been doing, but come Gimel Regel, and everybody's all a regel, right? Re'ia, come see and be seen by the Shechina. We're always walking, Ba Yofu Pamayich Bana Olim Bas Nadiv, how beautiful are your footsteps, right? The daughter of the great giver of Avraham Avinu, walk. So the Jews, says Svasemis, we're a kol mahalech. We're always walking. We're always going towards. That's why in the end of days it says Va'omdu Raglov Ahar Zaysim. When the Geula comes, so then the footsteps of history have not come to an end, right? And there's what we call it, all of the journey through time to reach, yeah, the tikkun ha-gadol, right? The geula shlema. Then we call it, then kavyachol record Hashem kavyachol will hit amdu raglav. His feet will stand. And it's just as he is no longer traveling, right? He's no longer carrying, yeah, the world through the channels of history to its ultimate destiny. Now it stops. But until that point, it's always walking. Until that point, we always have to be walking. So this is the Sasemes, Kineo Odom Nikra Mahalach. He's always going to be rising. If you're not rising, you're falling. This we all know. And for those who are not familiar with it, I will tell you. They traveled from one place to the next, The and every place they traveled to was a new war, not a war, yeah, with enemies, with spears and bows and arrows and lances and maces. Right, and morning stars. They didn't have those then. So maybe they did. Yeah. I said it's a nechama. It's a battle.
With what?
So that's why I'm in the middle of a sentence. Right? Kidichsiv bin Sor, Vahi bin Soron, Vayev, Vayom Mashiach, Kum Hashem, Vayafutzoi Vecha. It's called Vayafutzoi Vecha, your enemies. The Aron traveled in front of them. We say Vahi bin Soron. The Aron traveled in front of the Jewish people. Vahi bin Soron.
Who are the enemies?
That's the next three.
Right? We have, by even so, by Yom Moshe, Kum Hashem, via Futsoi Vecha, let your enemies be vanquished. Right? Futsoi Vecha, via Nusu Misanecha Biponecha. Misanecha Hema Sitra Acha. That's what we call, that's the other side. That's the other side. Shemasniim Lo'odom Ha'ol Torah U'mitzvos. You hear this? What is the job description of the Sitra Acha? The job description of the Satan is to make it hateful in your eyes to bear the burden of Torah and mitzvos. Right? To make it hateful in your eyes to bear the burden of Torah and mitzvos. That's the anchor of the Sitra Achra. Which is a fascinating point. Right? That's the Yitzhara. You say all the same, like the Gemara. What?
I don't need the Satan.
You don't need?
The Satan.
The Satan. Well, that's what he called. That's the Satan is the Yitzhara. He's the same guy. He just changes hats. Right? Ukumosha Kosov, like it says, it's Vasemis, we will have to say Hashem Elokecha. She Hashem Shamayim Mis'ahev Al Yodcho. A fascinating interpretation. Usually it says V'yohavtos Hashem Elokecho. So Chazal says She Tei Shem Shamayim Mis'ahev Al Yodcho. So you think that's a very limited thing. Mis'ahev Al Yodcho. In other words, I should help the old lady cross the street. Really cool. And they say, oh wonderful, it's good to be from Jew, right, etc. It's good to be Jewish. Look, he helped the old lady cross the street. When he called, he gave it to charity. He did this. This is all true. But that's not the bottom line. The bottom line, Shtei Shem Shamayim Mis'ayev Al Yadcha, is that a person's commitment to Torah Mitzvos should become beloved to a person in the eyes of other people through your actions. Not just, oh, look what a firm person does. Yeah, right? They're so nice. And they think of you as a nice thing, but that doesn't influence them. Shetei shem shamayim mis'ai v'yadcha, a person should want to be, right, like you, in terms of all Torah and mitzvahs. Including helping the old lady across the street. But also, in terms of what he called, it should emanate from you, your love for doing mitzvahs, tzitzis, and tefillin, right? Hafrashas, tumas, and maestras. Tefillah, etc. It should emanate from you, it should radiate from you. The love you have for that, so that people themselves will absorb a love for it.
That was
Avraham Avinu. Sorry? That was Avraham Avinu. Right. The Rishayim, right? All they're talking about is, you know, we're not going to do it, or we don't want to do it, or it's a pain in the patoot to have to do it, etc. So that is going that when people don't have a loving relationship with Avodas Hashem. Because they deceit is really called, it's a destructive burden, right? Or shirat zayin yid. It's hard to be Jewish. No, maskemeton. Yeah, what can you do? That's my shizgal. That's my fate. That's my fate. I have to suffer through it. That's a chil Hashem. Because you're saying it was really called. You're saying that it's you know, this is a miserable fate. So people want to say, what am I going to do it? That's like what he called this Moshe Feinstein used to say, right? He said, we lost a whole generation after the war. He says, because some people went off altogether.
Which war was that?
The Second World War. Right? Some people went off altogether. But even ones that didn't go off. Even the ones that didn't go off, but a lot of people, all they said was, Shvet Zayin Yid. It's hard to be Jewish.
Right.
So the children said, heck, I don't want it to be hard, have a hard life. So they didn't really close. They said goodbye and good luck.
That's really all of a sudden.
Right, that's the works of the sudden. He caused it so. Oh. But now let's go a step further. What exactly are some of the guts of the issue of waging this war, which the Sassamis talks about, which Lemaisa is what he called is the redeeming of the sparks of Hashem's presence that are found captured, the sparks of Kedusha that are found captured by the Satan in the barren place called the Midbar. So what's the bottom line here? So look at the Sfarno. Sfarno says, Vayichtav Moshe Kotzer Mokom Sheyotzu Elov VaMokom Asher Nosu Mimenu. They wrote the place that they left. Right? That the place that Shiyotsu Elav. No, he learns to understand. He understands the word, yeah? Motza'ayim. Not as being where they're coming from, but where they're going to. Which is interesting. That's what Sforno says. Right? Again, what's the lashon of Sforno? Kots of Makom Shiyotsu Elav. Yotsu Elav. That's Motza'ayim. That's why he's understanding the word Motza'ayim. But Makom Shiyotsu Mimenu. Sometimes the place that they came to was a really junky place. So let's say they were originally like in the 5-star Waldorf, right? And then Hashem says, okay folks, right, cloud of glory is there, pillars and forms, okay, pack up camp, fold up the Mishkan, we're traveling. And then you come, right, to a grade Z-minus hostel, right, in some place to stay. So your first reaction is, what the heck are we doing here? Why are you doing this to me? What was wrong with the Waldorf? I had my plunge pool over there, right? And now what have I got? I got zilcho. There's no bathroom in the room, right? It's down the hallway, and it doesn't even have a seat, right? So recall, so that's one type of nisayon. One time he saw you and he says, why are you doing this to me? Why you bring me to this place here? Why, it was good before. What I did now, what are you going? Well, I did something so bad over there, then all of a sudden I got to go to this place here. The place he left was good. Those are called mas'ehem lemotza'ehem. Right? The Iker here is the Motza, the place you're coming to, the place you're traveling to. That's the Nisayon. The Nisayon, right? The Nisayon for them in life, and the example that it's setting for us is when you come to an experience, a place, and you say, what the heck, what for? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? The experience, right, is hard to digest. That was the Nisayon. When they're omed in that Nisayon, again, this is part of the healing process that we saw before, that the Medrash, the Rabbi Tanchuma referred to, it's a healing process. And when they're omed in that Nisayon, they are extracting the Kedusha, the Nitzotzos of Kedusha from that place. What does it mean, Nitzotzos of Kedusha? Everything is the Word of God. But most things are covered up, right? You need to extract them, you need to use a jackhammer to get them out. Otherwise, you relate to them superficially, or you completely confuse what the message is, etc. If you dig hard, if you work hard, if you're omitting in the Nisayon, right? For them, the Nisayon was, what the world are we doing here for? Why did you take me from a good place to a bad place? Hush. If they're omitting the Nisayon, they've extracted the Kedusha from that place. That's one type of Nisayon. The cost of Gamkein Inyan Hamasa Shaya Latseis Mimokom El Mokom. No, that was a Sfarno. Sfarno, right? The Sfarno says it's a Milchama, right? Or Chaim calls it when you Kedusha. I'm just trying to bring it down to what he called to our level, right? And he said, well, what are you talking about? Sfarno is bringing it down to our level. The cost of Gamkein Inyan Hamasa Shaya Latseis Mimokom El Mokom Bli Hakdomas Yediyah. Sometimes the Iker, you hear this? Sometimes the Iker of the Nisayon, like the first thing, the Iker of the Nisayon was the place that you came to. You left a good place, you came to a junky place. That's the first. That's the first Nisayon that the Sfarno refers to. That's called Mas'eyem L'Motza'eyem. The Iker is the Motza, the place that you're coming to. We're going traveling to this place, to this grade Z hostel instead of the Waldorf. Why? And then there's another type of Nisayon. There's Nisayon of Motzaeim Lebasaeim, where the Ikari is the way they traveled. The cuts of Gamkin says a Sfarno. Inyan Hamasa Shahil Atseis mi Mokom el Mokom Bli Hakdomas Yediyah. No preparation. Pack up right now. What? Right now. We're leaving. Shahil Zeh Kashim Ma'od. It's very difficult, you know. We call it, you know, all of a sudden, bang, you gotta go. I just finished my call. I've only been here a few hours. Time to pack up. V'cholze lo nimnu. And the Jewish people, under both of these types of nisyonos, the second nisayon is the nisayon I would call of ein li koach. I have no strength. I can't. It's too much. I can't take the pressure. Right? It's not like I got kindness. It's not like I had potential for kindness. Why'd you do this to me? Which was the first place. Yeah, the first Nisayon is, why'd you bring me here? Why'd you leave the Waldorf and go to the hostel? Okay, that's one type of Nisayon. And they were all in that Nisayon. Another type of Nisayon is I can't go from one thing to the next thing, next thing. The guy, you're gonna turn off the merry-go-round of what he called, or I need razor blades. One or the other. So that's what he called it. On this also, lo nimnu. So these are the two nisyonos, the way the, what he called the Sfarno is magia the pasuk. Sometimes limotza ahem is the ikur nisayon, where you're coming to, when to go to a junky place instead of a, what he called, when you came from a good place. And the other things, right, are motza ahem, limas ahem, right? The ikur nisayon is the ketzev, the rate, the what do you call it, the just bang, 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 one thing after the next. I can't, no time to chill out now, right? It doesn't mean you can't allow yourself time to chill out, but sometimes circumstances don't allow for that. There is no time. And also they weren't nimnu. So this what do you call it, I think if we understand this, so we understand a little bit better the idea that the Or Chaim is saying the extraction of the Nitzotzos of Kedusha from the record from the desert through the Amida and the two different types of Nisyonos. In addition, now the bottom page, Kli Yakar, bottom page one, Kli Yakar.
Page one?
Yeah. Says, yeah. ויחלו משה מוצאים למצאים על פי השם ואחר כך כופר חסידי ואומר ואלה מצאים למוצאים ולא נאמר בו על פי השם. The Kli Yakar is all made on a nekuda. He's relating to a point that we glossed over before, right? Really, in the pasuk it says ויחלו משה מוצאים למצאים על פי השם. Again, he's not going to understand the words necessarily 100% the way we understood them until now, but the concept, right? Nobody disagrees with the concept. But he's learning it from the pasuk. He says, "Vayichta Moshe is motzaeim lemasayim al pi Hashem." The first part of the pasuk says he wrote down motzaeim. Again, how he'll learn the word motzaeim, we'll see. Lemasayim, they're leaving motzaeim lemasayim for the purpose of their traveling. He's going to understand motzaeim is the place they're coming from, not like the way the Sfarim understood that's the place you're going to. They're the place they're leaving to travel. Leaving to travel. Motzaim lemasayim. He says, that's al pi Hashem. The Kwasik says, that's al pi Hashem. The elemasayim lemotzaim, and here are their travels lemotzaim. See, he's going to say that means they're traveling back to where they left from. Back to where they left from. And that's not al pi Hashem. You hear? In other words, he's not relating to this idea of we're talking about the chassadim, or we're talking about the nisyonos they were omitting, etc., etc. He's talking about that there are two different ways to travel through life, as seen by the way that the Jewish people traveled through the Midbar. Again, this is the Kli Yakar as Perush. There are those who are traveling, right, motzaeim lasayim. They've left the place, and they're constantly traveling. Masayim. They left that place, they're not turning back.
They're looking forward
right,
to the next place.
Right. They're going forward, forward, forward. And that's al pi Hashem. And that's by the word of Hashem. Then there are other people who are mas'ayim motza'ayim. Their traveling is really an effort to come back to where they left. In other words, they don't want to go forward. They want to go forward. It says the Kli Yakar. He says, "V'hinni miforish zeb begimul panim." We're only going to do the first one. I didn't even write the other two because for our use of the moment, it's not relevant. He gives three pirushim in this thing. Let's just do the first one. Echad hu, should miktsas masalos hochul lifnim miktsasa nazoru achor. Sometimes they went forward, sometimes they went backward. Kimitchila v'yashuva yachnu lifnei piachiros b'yashashi hochul achoreim letzad mitzrayim. Sometimes they went backwards, recall Hashem instructed them to go backwards towards Mitzrayim. The Chema Pasha's Dvarim, Ksiv, Anefim, and Yisrael Amidbara. Right? Record there, Rashi says, recall, Perish Rashi, the Fisha Kilkulu, Hafchul Letzad Amidbar. Since they were Miskalkel, since they were after the Chetam Ragdim, they had to turn back towards the desert, not towards Eretz Yisrael.
When they went backwards and forwards, that's like every day, and sometimes we.
Oh, so we'll see. First, let's finish what he says. What he calls them as psukim, then we'll relate it to our situation in life.
Are you
going to
go around the table and say everybody's particular?
No, we'll leave that for primal scream therapy later, right? Mibeiros bnei Yaakov Mosera shachazu shmona masolos lachareim. They went backwards 8 masolos. Okay, nimtza. You see there in the Kli Yakar, nimtza sherova masolos asher holchu b'hem lifnim v'lo lachor. Most of the traveling was always forward, always in the direction towards Eretz Yisrael by hook or by crook, and that was considered motzaim lemasayim. They've left the place and their intention is not to turn back, but to keep on going, 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 going towards where they need to get to. They want to travel. They want to grow. They want to reach their ultimate destiny, which is Eretz Yisrael, which was said before, that's home. That's where we belong, which we'll discuss in a moment. We'll lean it a little bit more. That was not Pi Hashem. Right? That's called their travelings in order to return back to what they came from. Right? They turned towards what he called towards Mitzrayim. In other words, there are, right, when a person wants to grow, so he was always going towards the place of his ultimate destiny. Then there are times when people don't want to be like that, right? They don't want people to be like that. The truth is, Rishon brought the second parish, he brought also, he talks about the Eir of Rav. Yeah, that there are people, there are two ways to travel through the desert. Reading the second parish really, really illuminates it. I should have written that as well. Yeah, that you can, some people want to grow, they want to, what do you call, they want to go towards their ultimate destiny, and other people, as it were, all they want to do is remain what they were. They don't want to grow. They don't want to transform themselves. They don't want to give birth to themselves. The reason we came down to this earth is to give birth to ourselves, to transform ourselves. Right? To transform ourselves. Truth is, I really should have brought down the second parish. The second parish that the Kliyakar said. The second parish, he says, he identifies those who are going Motza'ayim Lamas'ayim. Right? Those who are going forward, those are Am Yisrael, those are the core of Klal Yisrael. Those who are Mas'ayim L'motza'ayim, they always want to recall, they don't want to leave what they've grown accustomed to. They don't want to leave the standard of what they call of comfort that they've grown accustomed to. They don't want to put themselves outside of their comfort zone in order to grow, to rise higher on the ladder of life. They're always, as it were, yearning for Mas'ayim L'motza'ayim. They want to travel back to where we were comfortable. That is the Eir of Rav. Again, I made a mistake. I really should have brought the second parish of the Kliyak. But that's what he says it refers to. The two are referring to two different types of, what he called, two different types of traveling that you can find. And you find them in the Jewish people even today. There are those, what he called, who are aspiring to grow. Again, there may be different, I'm not saying it's monolithic. Right? The different folks are different folks. Different people are trying to grow in different ways, etc. And then there are those who always are trying to bring us back. No, this is too much. That, that's what you call that. What you call, why are you trying to, what you call, don't get so firm on me. Don't be so spiritual. Don't be whatever you call. Let's just manage. That's what you call. Let's just survive. Let's survive. So that is the direction of Ma'aseh L'motza'ayim. Let's never put ourselves outside of our spiritual comfort zone. Right? Let's always be satisfied with who we are. Let's never, as it were, aspire. I don't mean a person should be unhappy, he should be happy. But a person should aspire to be spiritually, upwardly mobile. That's, says the Kliyakar, that's, what do you call it, that's Motza'ayim L'mas'ayim. And those who don't want to be spiritually, upwardly mobile, let's not rock the boat. That's Mas'ayim L'motza'ayim. That's another interesting point. Once again, this is written in the Chumash. Right? This is in the Chumash because it's not something that's just history. It's something that, what he called, that we have to know, that a person has to, just like we saw from the Svarna before, talking about two different types.
The Motza Ahem are the people who are who want.
There's the Motza Ahem, Lemasa Ahem. Where I've left, my goal is to travel further. And there are those who are Masa Ahem, Lemasa Ahem. Even if I'm traveling, my really what I do is I want to go backwards. I want to go back to the place I came from. I want to go back to what I'm accustomed to, what was easy for me. I don't want to go to some place that's more difficult. So the Sforno taught us two different types of Amida Ben Isayon. The Kliyakar is teaching us about that there's two ways to travel through life. There's two world views. You can either want to be Motza'ayim L'Matza'ayim, or you can be Matza'ayim L'Motza'ayim. Right? Again, it's the second parish in the Kliyakar. I apologize for writing the first.
We're in order.
No, I understand, but page 2. Let's really quote. Let's get out of the desert and go into Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Says the entry into Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk says in Perek Lamed Daled, "Tzavas bnei Yisrael l'manat aleihem ki atem boim el ha'aretz Kanan zos ha'aretz asher tipo lachem b'nachala Eretz Kanan ligvulo seha." So Rashi says, "Why is the terminology tipo? It'll fall to you, right?" Again, the pasuk says, "Tzav command the Jewish people not to him say to them as follows."
Lamed Daled what?
Lamed Daled base. Right? Ki atem ba'im el ha'aretz Kanan. You're coming to Eretz Kanan. Haaretz, the land, Canaan. Zos Haaretz, this is the land asher tipo lechem, will fall to you benachla, in inheritance. Eretz Canaan legvul hasel. Eretz Canaan according to his borders, his boundaries. So Rashi says, why are you in terminology? Tipo will fall to you. Rashi says, al shem shenischalka begorel nikreis chaluka. So Rashi lashon afila. Rashi says the first pshat, the why it says it'll fall to you, because it was divided up. One of the methodologies used to divide it up was the goral, drawing lots. And that's called, like we know from Megillah Esther, hipil pur. Right? Throw the lots. Let's see where it goes. Well, it seems like chance. But it's not chance. It's very interesting. What do you call it? The lots that were drawn for dividing up the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. So they had different boundaries written, and what do you call it, and different shvatim written, and the Nasi would come, he'd pick out, you know, his shevet and his what do you call it, and the boundaries, and then the goral, right? So it looks like it's all chance, like, you know, but the goral would scream, I am the goral. The goral would speak, I am the goral, and this is the shevet that I'm supposed to go to. This is the, what do you call, I am the boundaries man. So the whole purpose of the goral was, to show that what appears on the surface as chance is all divine will. There is no such thing as chance. It's all divine will. So it's very interesting that that's the nature of the entry into Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the breeding ground for instilling and embedding inside of a person the recognition that what appears superficially to be chance is all divine will. That's the nature. Eini Hashem lo kecha bo b'mishnah shana ad ach rishana. Eini Hashem lo kecha dorish bo. Rekosh Baruch Hu is always searching for, always looking for, always, as it were, peering upon Eretz Yisrael. He's mashgiach intensely upon Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, the entry into Eretz Yisrael uses that which appears on the surface. That's why Haman used it. Chance. Chance is the opposite of divine intervention. No. What appears to be chance is really also divine intervention. That's when Goral cries out, I am the boundary of of this Shevet. The idea, right? Then Rashi continues, Umedrash Agari, brings a Medrash. Idea Shehipil HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sarem Shal Ayin Umos Min HaShamayim V'Kof Shal Nifnei Moshe Abelo Re'ei Ein Behem Od Koach. The Rashi brings in another explanation of why he used the terminology fall. Because Bohu knocked down the angel heads, as it were, of what he called of the 70 nations. Those angels, each nation of the 70 nations has an angel associated. Because Bohu bashed them down and tied them, bound them up before Moshe Rabbeinu and said, see, they don't have koach anymore. What's the idea? The idea is as the Malbim explains in what he called, when he discusses what takes place on Shabbos, right? Remember, we call it on Shabbos, it says Vayachulu, it says Vayar Elokim, and God saw, Eskosha, saw everything he made, and he told Ma'od, it's all exceedingly good. Vayar Vayvoka Yom HaShishi. And that was the evening, and it was the morning of the sixth day. Right? And all of the heavens and the earth and their hosts were completed. That's on the sixth day. The next verse says, finished on the seventh day. We have an editing problem here. Right? We make it up. Make it remind us. The sixth day, the seventh day. Right? By Chulu, it says the sixth day. By Chal is the seventh day. Explains the Malbim in Bechalim, that entire paragraph, a beautiful explanation gives on by Chulu, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates two systems. He creates a natural order, quote unquote natural, it's all His will. But in that natural order, right, in that natural order, you don't see it as being fine-tuned to your actions. It's all God's will, but you don't see it as being fine-tuned to your actions. Then there's another order, which is the order of Tzadikim and Rishoyim, Mitzvahs and Ma'asim Tovim, Mitzvahs and Averas, etc. That's a system that's very sensitive to a person's actions and causes divine intervention based upon your actions. The goal of the creation of these two systems, right? One is a natural system from which a person doesn't necessarily grow, right? You don't necessarily grow living in the natural world. I mean, get fatter maybe, right? But you don't grow in the natural world. You sunrise, sunset, that's the way it goes, right? But in the world of Torah mitzvos, right? That's what a person is meant to do. A person is meant, like we said, like we saw before from the Kli Yikar, a person is meant to go motzaim l'maseim. A person is meant to rise and to connect to the higher system. When that man has done that, he had given birth to himself. That was the goal of why Hashem put him in this world. He shouldn't just be a recipient of a freebie of closeness to Hashem, but rather he should struggle, he should overcome the hurdles of life, he should give birth to himself. Eilu told us, Noach, ish tzadik tamim ayah b'dorasav, eslokim yisalach Noach, says Rashi, what do you mean Eilu told us Noach? It doesn't talk about Shem Chamdi, it talks about his actions. It says Rashi, because the eker of a person's progeny in this world are not children, right? The eager person's progeny in this world are his good deeds, because he gives birth to himself. So he transforms, he takes the system of the natural, and he instead shows that the real system above that, which reveals Hashem's closeness, is the world of Torah, mitzvos, ma'asim tovim, the world of tzaddik, the system of tzaddikim and rishayim. So that's what we call, that's what Rashi's telling us over here. Rashi's telling us here in the Medrash that the lashon of nefila, of falling, is used with regard to Eretz Yisrael, because the purpose of living in Eretz Yisrael, the way Kashal is meant to live in Eretz Yisrael, is to show that the system of Teva is subservient to the system of mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. It's bound up before us. That's what Hashem wants. He wants the system of Torah, mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim to conquer the system of Teva, to subjugate it, to harness it.
Two systems. Hashem's will is not defined by our actions.
In the natural world, you don't see the influence of your actions upon record the way the world runs. When a person, though, binds himself to the system, right, of tzaddikim and rishayim, the way the Medrash refers to it, Mahamud cites it there in Bereishis, right? So then a person sees the interrelationship of his actions to Hashem's providence.
Is that reward and punishment?
Reward and punishment, or bechlal, the way that we call it, the world knocks for you so that you can do more mitzvahs, right? So you can be more functional. More capable of transforming this world to a place of Kedusha. Again, there are other nisyonos in life as well, but it's not a guarantee, you know. We know plenty of tzaddikim whose lives are very bitter, etc. Right? But there is a process by which Klai Yisrael, when Klai Yisrael is functioning properly, Klai Yisrael is whole, certainly, when Klai Yisrael is functioning properly in Eretz Yisrael, then the land knocks for them. It works for them. Because they're using it correctly. They're keeping the mitzvos. They're doing the ma'asim tovim. They have emuna. They have bitachon. Let's just do a little more, right? In Yirmiyah, the pasuk says. Hador, atem, perek beis, pasuk lamed aleph in Yirmiyah, right? Hador. Yirmiyah is speaking to the Jewish people. They've sinned. It's been nigzar on them. They're going to get tossed out of Eretz Israel. He speaks to them, though. He says, Hador, atem re'u. This generation, see Dvar Hashem. See the word of Hashem. See the word of Hashem. Hamidbar hayisi l'Yisrael. Hashem, see this word of Hashem that Hashem is saying. Was I like a desert for you, O Jewish people? Im Eretz ma'pelyah. Was I like a darkened land for you? Madu amru ami, why has my nation said, Radnu, we've gone down, lo navo od elecha, we've gone down from a relationship, we will never return to you again. This is Yirmiyah speaking to a Jewish people, that he's already prophesied about them that they're going to be thrown out of Eretz Israel. Right? But their attitude is, that's it, we're finished, it's gone. And he turns to them, and he says, what do you call it? Why are you saying this? Why are you saying this? And the punishment you'll get, but why are you saying that, Riku? You'll never have another connection to Hashem again. Rashi says over there in Yirmiyah, holds them Tzinsenes Haman. Amlemer Ukan Ma Dvar Hashem Moyel. He took out the container with a bit of man in it left from the midbar. Right? And he showed it to them. In other words, Hashem sustained the Jewish people of man 40 years in the midbar, even though they sinned. Even though they were expiating their sins. Right? They were getting onshim, they were being healed, etc. But he still fed them. He says, who says I'm going to abandon you? Who says I'm going to abandon you? Who says I'm going to abandon you? The Medrash, right underneath that, says a little bit differently. Ketem boyim el eretz Canaan. This is what he quote in, again, back to our pasuk here. Ketem, you're coming to the land of Canaan. Right? Hador, atem, he quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyah. Says, recall the Medrash. Right? Says the Medrash. Al tiya kore hamidbar ela hamedaber. Right? The pasuk says, hamidbar, was that like a desert for you? Says the Medrash, don't say desert, but say medaber. Did I speak? Hamedaber ha'isli Yisrael. Did I speak to you and not keep my word? Right?
Who said that?
This is what he called, this is Hashem in the words being said by Yirmiyah, the prophet. Mapelio. Don't say I'm not paying, what he called, was it darkness for you? But what did I delay giving you what I said I was going to give you? Aphilos means what he called to delay. That's what the Medrash says. That's what the Medrash says. It brings it down in this pasuk. And it's brought down over here. You come to Eretz Yisrael. And this is Eretz Yisrael is a place. What type of place is it? So it says the Sfas Emes. Let's just see the Sfas Emes over here. Right? Ke'atem ba'im. Zos arsas et tipol lachem. Right? Sfas Emes in the middle of the page. Hu dichsiv. Hador. Atem ra'u dvar Hashem. Hamidbar. Hayisi. Im eretz ma'pel yoh. Al tikri hamidbar el hamedaber. V'chi dibarti v'lo kiyamti. Says Hashem, says the Medrash. Yirmiyah is telling the Jewish people. Right? Did I ever say something to you and I didn't keep my word? Right. Why are you believing again? The context of the pasuk over there is the Jewish people are being going to be punished for what they did wrong, and they're saying that's it. We're finished. We have no relationship with Hashem anymore. Right? He's abandoned us.
Right.
And to which Yirmiyah says, "Who says? Who says?" He says what he quotes. Says the Sfas Emes. Right? They bring it down here in this pasuk. They brought the Medrash talking about Klai Yisrael coming into Eretz Yisrael. They bring down this pasuk. V'alzek siv ma'arav tuvcha uchsiv zos ha'aretz asher tipol kvar pirashnu b'knisas b'nei Yisrael l'asham nizgala sham ha'kedusha sheyarda mishamayim. In other words, the idea being right, the Sfas Emes is saying what he calls, saying it a little bit differently. He's saying that I leave you in the Ibri Kod in Ikilu Hamidbar. Right? I said to you I was going to bring you to Eretz Yisrael. Didn't I bring you to Eretz Yisrael? Even after you sinned, but didn't I bring you to Eretz Yisrael? Did I leave you in a world of darkness? No! Did I delay giving to you? I gave you Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is what type of place? Eretz Yisrael is a place where you find yourselves completely. Kinea Kodesh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, Hivtiach Lanu V'Avaseinu Kama Pamim Lahan Chil Lanu Eretz Yisrael, Imkeinu Dover Godol. The pasuk that says, that talks about Olam Haba, Ma'arav Tuvcha Asher Tzafan Te Derecha, how great is the Tov, is the good that you promised, right, God, to those who fear you. He says it refers not only to Olam Haba, it refers to Eretz Yisrael. Uchsiv Zos Aretz Asher Tipo, right? Ki Beknisas Bnei Yisrael L'Sham Nizgala Sham HaKedusha Sheyardim Mishamayim. Eretz Yisrael is a place where the Kedusha, it's a unique place where the Kedusha, remember, they travel through the Midbar to extract, yeah, the pieces of what he called of Kedusha that were bound up, right, on desolate places under the control of what he called of the Satan. Those were all the Nisyonos, etc., of what he called of living through the Midbar, the difficulties. Yeah, the Nisyonos of why I can't take the pace anymore. Or why'd you bring me here? And so, where the place was before was good. But all those who traveled, like the Kliyaka said, they traveled Motzayim L'Masayim to keep on going forward. Eventually, they came to Eretz Yisrael. in Eretz Yisrael, now you will live that level of connection. Perush, right? V'zeh sh'omer re'u dvar Hashem. That's what it means. See the words of Hashem. See the words of Hashem. Re'u dvar Hashem. That's how the pasuk started in Yirmiyah, right? Re'u dvar Hashem. See the words of Hashem. Where can you see? How can you see the words of Hashem? So at the time of Matan Torah, they saw the words of Hashem. In Eretz Yisrael, you can also see the words of Hashem. In other words, your whole worldview changes. At the time of Matan Torah, right? The time of Matan Torah, the Medrash brings down that they saw what ordinarily they heard, and they heard what ordinarily they saw. Says the Nefesh HaChaim, what does that mean? In other words, ruchnias, spirituality, is something you hear but you don't see. Physicality is ordinarily something that you see, right? But you really call it, you don't need to hear it. You see it, right? You see it.
Say that
again? Physicality, yeah. Right, is something that you ordinarily see. You don't hear that this is the most important thing in life, but, right? You know, if your head is screwed on at all, but you see it. It's right there in front of your face. Spirituality is something you hear, right? Yeah, right, I hear it. But you don't see it, right? What you see is, you know, 3-inch ribstick, right? You don't see, what do you call it? You know, a machlokas Rashi, and what do you call it, Tosus, we call what the Rashba explaining, what do you call it is. You don't see it. You know, yeah, I hear it. That's an important thing, but, you know, you don't see, like, Rashba, right? But at Matan Torah, they heard what ordinarily they saw. They saw what ordinarily you heard, says Nefesh HaChaim. In other words, spirituality became visible to them. And Gashmias was like, oh yeah, I can hear that. Right? And physicality, right? Right? It all turned around. What ordinarily you saw, you heard. What ordinarily you heard, you saw. So he says, what he calls, says the Sfasemis, that's what took place in Eretz Yisrael. Ru'u Dvar Hashem. That's what Yirmiyah tells him. See in Eretz Yisrael, you see the Dvar Hashem. Right? Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, that's what he called, that is the place of the fulfillment of a person's, of all the struggles that they went through, all the nisyonos in the midbar, all the struggling to go, right, from motzaeim lemasaeim, as the Kliyakar explained, etc., always trying to grow and grow and grow. The place, ma'arav, tuvcha, asher tzafanta l'riecha, the ikar makom of fulfillment, of being able, as it were, to soak in that relationship that you struggled so hard for, is in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael is the place of where the dibur of Hashem, right? That's what the Medrash says. Al tikri hamidbar or hamedaber, right? If you survive, as it were, if you overcome the tests of the midbar, then you'll reach the place of where you'll be able to see the Dvar Hashem. Where you'll be able to see the words of Hashem. That's Eretz Yisrael. That's what Eretz Yisrael is about. V'zeh sh'omar hamidbar yisi, ki niskayim gam ba'asiyah levad mi adibur. Not only did Hashem say he's going to give them Eretz Yisrael, but he gave them Eretz Yisrael so they could see his dibur in Eretz Yisrael. U'b'nei Yisrael, says the Sasemis, v'Eretz Yisrael, u'b'miktash, yirgishu ha'kedusha. In Eretz Yisrael, you can finally feel the Kedusha. V'nizdabgu kol echad b'sholesh ha'shayech lo. And every person was able, as it were, to attach himself to the root of his very soul, of why he came to the world, of why he's here, right? Because across the Medrash, the Pasuk, Chavolim naflu li b'ni'imim, af nachla shafra alai. Perush, Sherov izdabku b'nachla zu. They saw how beautiful it was. They saw, recall, each person was able to find himself in Eretz Yisrael, to find the source, the shoresh, the root of his soul. That's why Yerushalayim is called the rejoicing of all the earth. Why? Because nothing is more a reason or cause for rejoicing than knowing, right, why you're here and how you're fulfilling the reason why you're here. There's nothing that gives a person greater happiness. Kamo sameach v'chelko, a person rejoices in his chelik. When each person recognizes his place, what's my job description, and I'm doing it, and he's connected to it. The shore show and his source, maybe simcha. Right? Omar, Eretz ma'pelyo. Eretz Yisrael, hey, l'chol echad. Did I leave you in a darkened place? The midbar is a darkened place. There's a struggle there. He comes to Eretz Yisrael now, right? I fulfilled my word. Comes to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is not a place of darkness. Eretz Yisrael is a place of light. L'chol echad leides mekomo. Here you can see what your place is, the shorshol, what your root is, what your source is. Zeh shal mechaz chazal l'chein. Right, pasach torah brachis etc. Mishum koach mas of the gidol amalek. That's a separate story. Right. So what we see,
we're hearing.
Right. So we're hearing. Right. So here we come. And it's so one. Oh, very good. Yeah. Thank you. So what we see, we saw the midbar. Midbar place of Nisyonos.
Right.
The Amida of Nisyonos, especially the way the Sforno explained to us. Right? Two different types of Nisoyon. That causes the ability to extract the Kedusha from those difficult situations, etc. in life. The ultimate goal is to reach Eretz Yisrael. To reach Eretz Yisrael in the Gula. Right? We're struggling here also. Right? Right? We're still in Golas, but we're struggling out of the Golas into the Gula, Mitzvah Shem. Right? Here in the Gula, this is a place of happiness. Right? This place of happiness. Why? Because here is where a person sees what he was struggling for all his life. Eventually it'll be clear to us what we're struggling for and how we're fulfilling exactly our job description, right, etc. We know why we came here and we know how we're getting to where we need to get to, etc. That's all going to become clear, right, in Eretz Yisrael, in the Zman of the Gula, and as we have tastes and glimmers of it already now, because we're coming closer and closer and closer and closer, albeit very difficult times. But the only way we can be guaranteed to be able to taste of that simcha is we have to be people, as the Kli Yakar said, who are people of, right, motza'eyem lamaseyem. What we've left behind, we don't want to return to. We want to constantly be spiritually, upwardly mobile to travel further and further and further. And that, God forbid, maseyem lamaseyem, always trying to find excuses to be able to return back to our spiritual fetal state, right? We want to grow, we want to grow, we want to grow, we want to give birth to ourselves. And then, really cool, that's really cool, that's the bracha of Eretz Yisrael. Here is the place where you can taste it. Okay, so a little bit about the Midbar and Masay, right? And this is a proper conclusion for Sefer Bamidbar. It's the introduction to the Eila Dvarim, the Shadiber Moshe, next week's Parsha, Dvarim, Sefer Dvarim, is where a bus of Adam, Moshe Rabbeinu, was a bus of Adam, he spoke the words of Hashem. He said Divrei Torah. That's the ultimate goal. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu didn't enter into Eretz Yisrael, right? He now that source, Baruch Hashem, we have that source. Okay.